It is 1 o'clock on the West Coast. It is Hug Nation time all over the world. And if you are watching on archive, well, then it's Hug Nation time whenever you are receiving the vibration of this voice, whenever you are receiving the visual of these bits and bytes rapidly changing to give you the illusion of movement. Welcome to now. Oh, Hug Nation is, among other things, a celebration of now, a celebration of the present, a reminder that in the present, we are rich beyond measure, we are powerful, we are complete. So let's just practice that, practice a little mindfulness, come to the now, become present, and just start with a little moment of mindfulness. Take a deep breath. Become aware of all the sounds you can hear. Don't label them what you've been taught that sound is. Don't label it a dog, just hear the pitch of it. Don't label it a car, just hear the rumble. Don't label it charming pink-haired guy, just hear the sound, the fluctuation of a voice. What other sounds can you hear? Sink into this now. Discover the depth of riches. I just heard a bird or a chirping sound. I can hear the rumbling of my fan. Of course, I'm breaking the rule by labeling them for the purpose of explaining them. Maybe I should just go, I hear a chick, 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 and I hear a and I hear in this now, without any thought, without any intention, with any movement or any ambition or force or effort or energy on our part, as we sit still and simply receive the stimulus of this now moment, as we simply appreciate the gifts of the now, an infinite number of things works, rumbles on, rolls on, in perfect harmony. Our body creates new cells, regenerates, heals, equalizes, keeps everything in equilibrium as this decades-old piece of organic machinery continues to function. It's mind-blowing. How many things do you own that are as old as you are that still work, if anything? Is there such a thing? Thank you, universe, for this body, this gift of awareness, this amazing perspective, this ability to perceive, appreciate, and witness this amazing planet in this amazing galaxy, in this amazing universe. Far too much to wrap our heads around, much more important to simply open up, receive, and appreciate. Thank you, universe, for all these gifts. Help us to stay in appreciation. Remind us to surrender to the flow. And help us to be more loving beings in the world. Amen. Welcome. Welcome to Hug Nation. It is April 12th, I believe, which means it is once again now. And it's now again. And if you are watching this archive, it is now, now. So thank you for sharing this vibrational moment, whether that is chronologically at the same time. Hardly matters because chronology is really a human construct. It's a way for our consciousness to make sense of the grand Mobius strip unfolding of the universal one. At least that's how I see it. I kind of see all of time and space and history and future as this one experience that our three-dimensional consciousness perceives as a chronological. We kind of ride the Mobius strip and experience these things one at a time through this single consciousness. And to get a little deep quickly, I think that we are the divine consciousness a pinhole experience of the divine consciousness through our one. And then as we break into the cosmic consciousness, we recognize that we're actually, as the divine, we're actually every experience. Every human experience is we experience. We just not at the same time. We can't perceive it all with this biological, spiritual, single consciousness. And that's a perfect thing. In the same way, every cell in your body cannot conceive or perceive of the experience of the whole body, but you as an organism have all those experiences. Whoa! Why don't I slow it down a little bit and go to today's topic? Today's topic is love and relationships. And I actually talked about this topic about a few months ago. In February, I talked about love and the different types of love. And during the broadcast, I actually came to some pretty significant epiphanies about relationship and about love. And so I want to revisit those as it's been kind of part of my consciousness and part of my practice for the last few months. We're taught through media and through romance novels this idea of, you know, finding your the other half, finding someone to complete you, finding that, you know, someone will come on a knight on a white horse and rescue you, you know, and all these mythologies and these stories that create this really unhealthy concept of what relationship is and what partnership is and what we are looking for in another, in a romantic connection. I think most of us, as you get older, you realize that, well, the notion that you complete me is adorable, and it tickles certain, you know, values that I've been, you know, it's romantic. But at the same time, after a few relationships like that, I think we recognize, yeah, no, I want someone who's complete. I want someone who isn't filling their holes with me. I want someone who's complete, and then the two of us together can share this experience, uplift one another, and create a more incredible life experience for both of us. And that if there are ways that we can be supportive of one another, awesome, but not in the you complete me way, because, oh man, that's kind of a mutual theft, where you find someone that you can, you know, take things from them, and they can take things from you, and it gets unhealthy fast. There's a lot of things that seem normal and seem logical and seem rational within relationships, but I think become very damaging. And let me actually take one step back and just preface this all by saying, I am talking out my ass. I have had many wonderful relationships. However, none of them have been long-term. And so I am in no position to giving out advice on longevity of relationships. I'm simply speaking to ideas or lessons or things that are resonating with me where I'm at in the path right now. And as always, this is a belief buffet style, meaning if you like it, chew on it and swallow it. If it doesn't taste right, spit it out. No, I'm... So, sometimes we're even, one of the things that prompted me to talk about this topic again was that I was talking with some friends, several friends actually, over recent months that have had the situation where in their partnership or in their marriage or in their relationship, they've been struggling with one or the other partner feels like they're doing more than their share. And so a dialogue begins with the intention of trying to make things better, where one person is like, look, I feel like I'm carrying way more of the weight, and you feel like you're just like, you know, skimming along, and you need to do more. And that intention of trying to alleviate the feeling that you are being taken advantage of, that makes sense. But it gets very tricky with the specifics of that, because with that, once you begin that conversation from that angle of, I do more than you, now you're in scorekeeping. And once you're in scorekeeping, you lose the ability to have a gifting relationship within your romantic relationship. I know, I'm a little bit of a zealot when it comes to gifting. But I think gifting is also very important in relationship. Because my partner and I often joke that one of the reasons why we've been so happy lately is because we have such incredibly low expectations of one another. And we're only partly joking. Because when you have little expectation of somebody, then anything they do feels awesome. It feels like a gift, and you can appreciate it. And nothing makes somebody want to do more than feeling appreciated. So if you're always feeling like, wow, thank you, and the other person goes, all right, well, maybe I'll cook again. I feel great inside. This is worth spending that day cooking. However, if somebody says, well, is there no second course? Where's the dessert? You know, then it feels like, oh, that doesn't feel as good. It feels like, oh, I'm just trying to do what I'm obligated to do. And then it robs the joy. Because what's gifting? Gifting is when you get joy from getting something, and I get joy from your response, from feeling like I've given something to you. Your joy gives me joy. But if I'm acting from a place of obligation, and you're acting from a place of you deserve it, then it becomes a very dry transaction. So that is a danger zone of relationships when you start slipping into the obligation point and the scorekeeping point. Now, it's really hard to feel like, but that's unfair. I shouldn't have to do that. And this is huge. This is not just from relationship. In your entire life, that area of unfairness is one of the most fertile places to work on your issues and find a place to be happier. There's a great line in A Course in Miracles that says, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? And it is so easy to slip into kind of a righteous indignation about all sorts of things, whether it's politics, whether it's your relationship, whether it's your workplace, where you feel like, I shouldn't have to do that. You know, I shouldn't have to blank. I shouldn't have to blank. They should know better. This is unfair. I do more. Now, the danger in that is that if you get into that mentality, you lose the joy of doing things. You lose the joy of being able to give it. You lose all of the joy because all you're thinking about is keeping score and focusing on the imbalance. If you can instead wipe it clean, wipe the expectations clean, have no expectations, and just acknowledge that, okay, I may have to do more than what I thought was my share. Okay. Then I just do it. Nothing changes. Before, I was doing more than I thought I should, and I was angry all the time. Now I'm doing more than I thought I should, and I'm able to just be okay with it. And hopefully, by doing it from a joyous place, you can receive more joy from it. And hopefully, from a joyous place, you can then have dialogues where you can involve the other person. Maybe even, you know, expressing the frustration, not from, I do more than you don't do enough, to, I'm feeling under, like, I'm not being appreciated. I'm feeling unsatisfied with the amount of work I'm doing, or I'm, you know, bringing it all back to you, which is another huge one. It's always about you, no matter what. No matter what, whatever the other person's doing, it's about you. Now, here's another thing about bringing up a dialogue like that. There's an important element to relationships. Whoops. Sorry about that. Had it plugged in so we could play tunes earlier. There is an important part of relationships. It's not scorekeeping, it's investing. And as you're in a relationship, as you make deposits of goodwill, of trust, of doing more than you need to, of taking on things and giving support, every time that you are not keeping score, but just doing more, gifting more, you are putting deposits into the relationship. And that's in all your relationships, with your family, with your friends, anytime. And so then if you're always putting in deposits, then when it's time to be critical or have an exception or any of these things, then you've got this bank of deposits of goodwill that you can then take a withdrawal from and not be mess with the dynamic too much. If you never say anything to somebody and the first thing you say to them is criticism, why would they listen? Why would they care? That happens online all the time. With somebody who has, you know, first time they've interacted with me, they give me some criticism. It's like, now if somebody who's been listening for a while and commenting and engaging and giving me compliments, quite frankly, and then when they have criticism, I'm like, oh, well, I'll listen to you. And the same is true in our relationships. We tend to fall into the trap of thinking that if we give, we'll then be taken advantage of. Or we'll reward a behavior that we don't like. You know, like we almost subconsciously try to punish our partner for doing things that we think they shouldn't do. They use their money, spend in ways that we wouldn't. So we try to punish them and make it difficult, not support them in things that they've already decided they're going to do. And then we get into scorekeeping. Then we get into that we lost the gifting. Then we've gotten into trying to subconsciously, without dialogue, influence the other person. When all we ever have the option of doing is deciding how we are going to react in a situation. Now, I touched on the idea of manipulating and trying to get somebody to do something or be different. Another really dangerous part of relationship and love is falling into avenues that are related to love but are not love. Jealousy, worry, and concern. Many people actually even define love by those terms. And you know, you see on you know, made for TV movies all the time that, you know, the pretty girl doesn't fall for the guy until he fights for her. You know, or is until they why won't you be jealous? You know, don't you care about me? It's like, that's not the same thing. The one that is really insidious is concern. And this is one that I have been guilty of for a long time. And this is the one that I've been practicing a lot lately. And that when you are concerned about your partner, and I don't mean in the, like, I want the best for them, but more in the, oh my gosh, I hope they don't fail. Oh, like, they're going to run out of money. Oh, what if they do this? What, you know, like, kind of the mother's worry for their kid. And I have friends who have relationships with their family like that, where their mother is so worried that it's this pained experience. And this and the mother feels like that's what love is. Love is the feeling of loving someone so much that you just hurt and ache and worry about them. First of all, that's not love. That's attachment. And it has much more to do with, I think, your fear of losing something. But it's even worse than that, because when you are worrying, you are using the law of attraction for negative means. You are visualizing a situation in a way that you don't want it to turn out. And that's true for yourself. And I think it's easier to think about that in terms of yourself, but it's also the same with people that you live with, that you encounter with, your friends and your lover. And so while we sometimes think that the loving thing to do is to, you know, really worry about everything going right for them and really like being concerned and worry, it's a slight shift in consciousness, not worrying about worst case scenario. Instead, it's visualizing them as best case scenario, visualizing them as successful, visualizing them as being world class and realizing all the things they want to do, seeing them as they are trying to, as the person that they are trying to grow into, and holding space for them and seeing their perfect divine self blossoming. So that even as their ego stuff starts to wear them down, you hold them in a place that I know that you're going to get through this. I know that this struggle that you're going through is part of what you have to. I know that these slips that feel so painful and hard for you right now, I'm not going to dive in and rescue you. I'll hold out my hand, but really this is your challenge that you need to go through because you're on your way to becoming amazing, even more amazing than you already are. In fact, you already are amazing. It's just this thing that's happening right now is what the universe is giving you so that you can shed off all the shit. Shed off all the stuff that isn't really how amazing you are. Instead of being focused on those shell things that are not, and worrying about how those are going to interact. I had a kind of a romance novel exchange with my partner last week, I guess. And I came to the realization, I said, you're the best partner I've ever had, and I'm the best partner I've ever been. And it was this really cool feeling of growth, growth, growth. And part of being the best partner I've ever been is by doing less and rescuing less and worrying less and more just saying, hey, you know what? Each of our job is to find our joy and pursue our joy. And in relation to the other, our job is to lend a hand and appreciate the other person as they go for those joys. And so as they make decisions that I would not, don't slip into, oh no, blah, 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 but instead go to, huh, that must be the way that she gets to where she needs to be. I know she'll get there. I know it. It's almost like in the same way that you need to make a vision board for yourself about the things that you want to create for yourself, or you don't need to, but it's one technique. You should do the same thing for your partner. More than any physical thing, more than any action that you can do to support them, simply seeing them as succeeding is so important and so huge. And actually, it's certainly not a scientific study, but since I gave this initial epiphany talk in February, my partner has had success after success after success after success happen. And while I know it's not black and white and there's not just one factor of it, you know, I almost feel like I owe an apology to my previous partners for what I thought were my loving actions and my loving thoughts may have actually been sabotaging them and us. And this is not just a romantic relationship thing. Every person that you interact with, you have the ability to do that, to see them as their best. It's really that namaste idea. I see the divine in you. I know what you are. I know what you can become. I know what you're on your way to becoming. And I know that what you are right now is perfect. It's exactly where you're supposed to be. You're going through exactly what you need to do. You're touching and feeling and being and experiencing exactly the right things. And what an honor it is to cross paths at this now moment with everything as it is. Speaking of which, what an honor it is to cross paths with you at this now moment. What an honor it is to share this now moment as we are all on our paths, as we are all awakening our most perfect selves, as we're all reminding each other as our vibrations get in sync that we are awakening, as we are becoming into alignment, as we are pursuing love and pursuing our inner voice and our inner song more vibrantly, more loudly, so that it then increases that vibration in everyone else. And it is by tuning in that we find that song. We have no real business in helping somebody else hear their song. We might try to alleviate some baggage so that their song becomes louder in their head. But that symphony is one-on-one. That's between you and you. And the best we can do is get out of the way, hold their baggage, and say, I believe in you. I have faith in you. That is love. Love is saying, I know how amazing you are. I know what your best is, and it is so amazing. And no matter where you are in your fluctuations and your cycles, I see you as your perfect self, and I love you. And if you can hear my voice right now, I see you as your perfect self, and I love you. Let's have a hug. Grab yourselves by the shoulders. Your perfect shoulders, as you are perfectly where you are in this now moment, exactly where you're supposed to be, dealing with exactly the things that you need to become the person that you are supposed to be. You're already that person. You're already on that path. There is no time. Bravo. And so as we feel these arms, we recognize that these are symbolic. These shoulders we squeeze are representatives of the shoulders of all the people that we've passed in our doings and goings-ons of the last week. All the people we've seen on the road next to us, on the TV, in the office, online. As we squeeze, we feel their humanness. We feel the body that takes them around. We appreciate their struggles. We appreciate that they are on their way to becoming their most perfect selves. And we recognize that beneath that shell is that shell of values, roles, obligations, things that help us figure out this social game. But it's good to take a step back and remember that that social game, that status quo, that hierarchy, and that financial security, all of those systems and games are the games that we allow ourselves to play while we play the real game of waking up and becoming us. And we try to remind ourselves not to get so caught up in these societal games that we forget, that we lose track of our role as a divine being, as a reflection of the divine, as an expression of the cosmos, as a entity of love. There's far less that we actually need to do and far more that we need to surrender to. Sometimes the games of life make it easy to forget that. And so as we forgive ourselves, getting caught up in our to-do lists and our obligations and our obstacles, we also forgive all those that we've encountered and that may be very stuck in their obligations and to-do lists. Maybe thinking it being a life or death, maybe so focused that they think they need to change us or fix us or save us. And we see through that layer into their divine seed. And we see them as perfect. And we see them as a reflection of us, as we are all egoless reflections of the divine. So let's squeeze tight, take a deep breath, and just feel connected. Without our identities, without our roles, just energetic beams of love. Without our identities, without our egos, and without our stories, we're so much alike. We're raw and perfect, simply doing our perfect roles, receiving, being cells of the divine consciousness, cells of the one organism, receiving the gifts of experience, the gifts of awareness, and the gifts of love. Thank you for being a part of this oneness, for amplifying this vibration, for receiving it, for getting in tune with it, for reflecting it in all that you do and say and are. You make the world a better place by stripping away and becoming in tune with you. You as you. You as you are created is a perfect part of the whole. And as you vibrate on that level, as you surrender to that flow, you cannot help but infuse the world with love and light and compassion. Thank you for being you. On behalf of Grandpa Caleb and all the love warriors, happy Hug Nation. I love you.